on this week's episode of Marketing O'Clock.
Is Google putting an FU into LLSAs?
Probably. They also have some updates that AR, the foundation of shopping for beauty products.
And Google's new policies for Skillshop certification are certified stupid.
All on today's show.
Welcome, you are listening to Marketing O'Clock. Just stay tuned. Digital marketing news, but let's get specific. Digital ads, SEO and analytics, social media and more. Pretty much everything that'll make your website perform. With new shows every Friday.
Every Friday.
We give you the news with sass and puns and definitely hot takes.
Hot takes.
Thank you for tuning in. You know what time it is. It's officially Marketing O'Clock. Settle in, sit back, keep it locked.
Hey there, I'm Christine Zurnhelm.
AKA Shop.
I'm Jess Budd.
And I'm Greg Finn.
And it is officially Marketing O'Clock.
Here on October 27th, 2023. Hello, everybody. Thanks for joining us for another fabulous episode. And before we get into all the digital marketing news of the week, Jess Budd, what's happening with you?
I took the day off on Monday, had the best day of my life. Monday fun day.
Wow.
Best day of your life.
Well, it was
pretty
good.
That's a pretty good day.
Yeah. Do you know what I did?
Yeah, what'd you do?
I went to the DMV.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
And I timed it. I did not have an appointment. There was a huge
Why
line of people.
Why would you do that to yourself? You need appointments.
No, you do not need appointments. There was this huge line of people with appointments, and they weren't getting in at their appointment time, and I was a walk-in and a huge line of walk-ins. They had this amazing guy. He could be, like, he should be a triage nurse at, like, an ER because he knew all of the requirements. He's like, what are you here for? Okay, you stand in this line. You need this paperwork. He was answering all these people's questions, got us in it. I was done in 47 minutes, start to finish. And that included the entire office shutting down for a 15-minute paid break. And I thought that was pretty good.
They shut down the entire office?
He did. He came out. He's like, if I can't get you in before this 15-minute break, I'll get you in right after. But they got to take a break at 3:15. And they did. And like,
why don't
it was
you
just,
stagger the breaks also?
I said the same thing when I was standing there in line. I'm assuming it's based on data and that they just are
There's
more efficient if they all
no
break
data
at once.
Being used in the government to figure that out.
And then they're all just like sitting there complaining to each other for 15 minutes when like two people could just go have a smoke and the other two could keep serving us. Anyway, I was really impressed with the experience. It took me longer to find the DMV in the building. Because it's like in this huge building of all these other things, and it did get in and out, and I was in and out in 47 minutes.
So that was why you had the best day of your life, because you went to the DMV for
47 minutes. I just never
get
to do that.
To go to the DMV?
Yeah, it's like a rare thing. I upgraded to an enhanced license. They took my photo, which I was mad about because my license wasn't expired. But I just, like, I stood there and played
it's
games on
normal.
My phone.
We need a timeout.
Not normal.
Yeah, we need a timeout. When we're talking about this one over here, she likes playing CAPTCHAs in her spare time, and the quote best day of her life unquote
was going to the
Monday
DMV.
When she went to the DMV.
Pretty not normal, Jess.
I mean, I said it was the best day of my life. It was a very nice day.
It took less than an hour, and there's 23 more hours in the day.
Yeah,
but
so
that
what
just
else?
Made your day.
Well, I went
so
home
great.
And had a drink, and I had gone out for breakfast before that. But it's just like I got something done that I needed to get done that I never had time for. I got to just stand in line and not worry about anything and listen to all these other people whose lives are worse than mine, screaming at their kids, mad about paying $1 for license plates. Like you just feel good. Like I had all my stuff in order, I had all my paperwork. I was there. I was ready.
So you
it was
you
nice.
You thrive off of other people's misery, is what I'm.
That's
hearing.
Not what I said.
That's what I heard.
I have an important question. Yeah. Did they check your eyes? Because
they
a
did
concern
not,
on the show.
My license
Goodness
was not.
For you.
You would not have
Imagine
passed.
Imagine that. I take your glasses off. You're toast.
No,
your license is getting ripped out of your hands.
No. They didn't even check. But like I said, I had all my things in order. And the man in line in front of me said, wow, you have everything except an appointment. And I was like, bro, you're sitting on your phone watching TikTok out loud for the world to hear.
Oh,
don't
bad.
Scold me. Anyway, I was very prepared and it was very efficient and go to the Niagara County DMV if you live in Niagara County. Go to the Niagara Falls one.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that is sad, but not exactly surprising.
How about you, Shep? Anything happen fun with you?
My daughter is watching a lot of YouTube. She likes Miss Rachel. She likes Blippi. I don't like Blippi. This lady, Miss Katie from Canada. And she now thinks that my job is just making YouTube ads because my husband decided to say that mommy makes the ads. She gets really mad at the ads all the time. So it just makes me feel even worse about myself. And she tries to skip them thinking that our TV is touchscreen. So she'll like bring a stool over the TV and start reaching up. I'm like, lady, we're not that fancy here.
No, but that's very smart of her.
I don't know.
That's probably the number one phrase uttered in my household is either Mag, skip ads, or Elton.
Yeah, skip the ads.
Like, they get so excited when the skip ads show up. They're like, skip ads. And I'm like, that's not good for your targeting, bro.
And when we were watching football the other day, so cable, not the kind of ads I make, there was an ad for some slap competition. Have you ever seen that?
What?
Oh, yeah, it's a UFC thing, the slap league.
And my little 2-year-old's watching this. I'm like, this is so scary.
I can't even watch those. I get physically disgusted watching these people get knocked unconscious.
Yeah. So I told her, these are not the kind of ads mommy makes. No way.
My kids currently hate the new, it's on every football game. It's Applebee's ads that plays Crazy Train at the beginning. They hate Crazy Train. Every time it comes on, they go, scream and just cover their ears. All right, and if you have not ordered your gear yet, you only have a few more days. It is shutting down on Tuesday. You can order Shake the Cushions merch over on shop.marketingaclock.com. We've got a selection of t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts. Grab your gear before the end of the month. It is going to be gone forever, collector's items, and we've got something new coming.
We need to take a second to talk about Brighton SEO, the world's biggest search conference is coming to the U.S., more specifically San Diego, on November 9th and 10th. And we are so excited to share that we will be going to Brighton SEO. We're going to attend some talks, get some interviews, and we're even going to record a live show from there. So you will see us. And we're giving away 2 free tickets for 2 days. So you can head over to X, follow us at Marketing O'Clock, and we'll have more information about that there. But even if you can't win our free tickets, this is definitely something that you're going to want to attend. It's not just about SEO. Fred Vallies is going to talk about ChatGPT. Krista Seiden is talking about GA4. And there are a lot of PPC talks too. My personal favorite talk name that I have ever seen in my life is on the agenda. It's from Amit Kabra, and it's called Going from PMeh to PMax.
Ooh, that is good.
So inspired. So again, we're going to Brighton SEO. We're excited to see you there November 9th and 10th. You can register at us.brightonseo.com. Again, follow us at Marketing O'Clock on X for more information about those free tickets. And let us know if you're coming, because we can't wait to see everyone.
First up in the news, there was a banger of a tweet from Anthony Higman. Higman! And Anthony Higman had a screenshot from what was the after submission for an LSA ad. So what occurred, somebody went through, clicked on an LSA, found a lawyer that they were looking for, or this was actually a wealth management client, found a wealth manager they liked, submitted the message to the wealth manager, and what came next was your message was sent to a certain name from a wealth management group, and underneath it was a new screen saying quickly message other, which isn't the right vocabulary.
No.
And it says reach out to others now to save time later. That just all reads really weird. But the big thing is you can put a message in, and then you can choose via a radio button which other wealth managers you want to send this message to.
And they're sponsored, yeah?
Sponsored. These are ads. And in case you don't know, with LSAs, you pay for the lead that you get. So Higman says, so just when I think Google does something good with a new feature, they have to immediately let me down by being grimy AF. After you text a business in LSA, they show your competitors and say, quickly message other just so they can effing charge everyone. WTF. You are messing with how advertising works. SMFH, which means shaking my effing head. Hashtag PPC chat.
You don't think our listeners know that?
They do now.
They do now. Okay. So this is problematic for a few reasons, right? One, with an LSA, you're paying for those leads. So that first person just paid a substantial amount of money for this lead. And the next thing that happens is a quick message to send your information, whatever you want, to potential competitors. Like that is not a good experience for an advertiser. It just is not.
Either side. Imagine just getting your box checked and paying for that too when they've already decided on the person they submitted.
Right. So for that first advertiser, it is not a good experience. I would argue that you, Google, it is your job to surface the right people to send the message to, not to just like spray these messages out after. Like, that's not great. So the person that got that lead, now that lead that they just got is going to be able to easily send a message with very low friction to all of their competitors. Mm-hmm. What's even worse in my book, all those competitors that have that box checked, the person checking the box already reached out to a company. You can now just check that box, and every single box checked, every one of those advertisers has to pay for that next junk lead.
That's what I'm saying. You don't want to be the second guy.
Well, you can send what? No. There's no. I do not know. It looks like you have to input an all new message, but those secondary follow ups are going to be like rat messages because you already picked the person you liked from your LSA. You went through. You sent them their information. You completed the transaction, and then it's like, oh, send a message to all these other people. All these other people. You were already the second choice, and now you're paying full price for a lead because there was this easy way to just disseminate your contact to more
service ads. Google's going to be making a lot more money.
I just shook my cushion.
Yeah.
It's really, really bad. You could make an argument that it could be better for customers. But at the same time, I would say that selection should be done up front. It should be done up front.
Oh, yeah.
It should not happen after the advertiser paid $150 for a lead, but you're saying I'm paying $150 for a lead, and then you're going to go out there and kick this person that chose me to my competitors. Like, that's not how advertising works. That's just not how it works. Anyway, Higman says, ready for this? Then any profile that is paying shows up as a suggested message a few others. Then it lets you select all of them by clicking a blue check mark and pre-populates your same text message to the original advertiser. Okay, I was wrong about that. And sends the three other advertisers at the same time, all caps, just so they can charge four leads from one single user. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen from Google in a while, and that is saying a lot. I didn't know it takes your message to the first person.
That's like absolutely no friction.
Yeah, that is so easy.
And then immediately you turn $150 into $600.
Mm-hmm.
Criminal. Out of all the DOJ, like, these are the things that if Congress like could ever understand how things worked, people would be in jail. So then Ginny Marvin, our ads liaison at ads liaison on X, says a giant nothing of a statement. She wrote, we saw consumers contacting multiple providers already. And the intention with this feature is to remove friction for users. Since launch, the rate of consumers who use the feature is roughly the same as the rate at which they contact multiple providers when it's not available. That means nothing. We know that. If there's a word roughly in there, it means nothing. We can't try. It has to be the same. It has to be percentages. Mm-hmm. If they say a word like roughly, Google that is, you cannot trust it. It could be anything. And then she goes on to say, the team is monitoring the quality of engagements with providers via this feature and see it's comparable, which means nothing, to the message lead when it's not used. All providers who are opted into messaging are currently eligible to show up in the message a few others list.
Why wouldn't you just make it so that at the first touch you could message multiple people at once if that's what you're trying to do?
That would be fine. I think they are trying to slip this under the radar.
Well, for sure.
Yeah.
That's how you know, because otherwise they would have just done that up front and it would be even less friction if you didn't have to submit a message and then pick more. You could just submit multiples. So clearly that's not their agenda.
Okay. So then Drew Cannon at DC Digital US, working side by side with Higman over there, says, to clarify, are you charging the same price for an exclusive lead on your platform versus this new shared lead? Since the Google Ads team determined a majority of leads would, on average, contact more than one provider. Ginny responded saying, contacting multiple providers is an observed behavior. I didn't say it's a majority and don't know the percentage, but the rates remain similar. I love Ginny to death.
An observed behavior.
I don't know the percentage, but the rates remain similar. Okay. Great.
It's an uphill battle for poor Jenny.
Worst job in America.
Yeah, I wouldn't want it.
I'd be rather be in a coal mine than behind as liaison X handle.
I'll get you.
Put me on an oil rig. Anyway, she goes on to say, the team's evaluating, but so far there isn't substantial evidence to indicate performance is different from that of regular message leads. Hickman goes on to say, I hear that, but when a change like this is made easier for the user, but then makes things harder for the advertisers, for advertisers going for the same exact lead, and then has the implication that Google has the ability to make more revenue from change, that makes things tough or whatever. And then Drew goes on to say, again, just to clarify, there is no difference between the cost of a lead sent to four advertisers versus one, dot, dot, dot. Let that sink in, dot, dot, dot. So what does this mean to you, the advertiser running LSAs? They're going to get a lot worse. You're going to have to bid lower. Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden, you can just get the same message to everybody after you've made that contact. You're going to have to respond lightning quick. Yeah. You're going to spend an incredible amount of money. These cushions are being shaken like they've never been shook before.
I feel like it could impact what, like how you follow up with the lead more than anything. Like you need to be super competitive now. And know that other people could be messaging them.
Well, the big thing is you got to start diversifying.
Yeah.
Like this is disgusting behavior, honestly,
pretty bad.
For an ad network. Pretty to say bad. That you can just immediately hit these select all and send the same message out and everybody's going to be hit for that same cost. It's disgusting. I don't know. It's so, and then you could also announce this too. Like that's the thing that's such BS with everything. It's like you can say this is going to change. Hey, you know what? You can show up for more replies. You can bid adjust them up or down or something like that. Like whatever. But they just sneak it through. And people are going to be like, well, look, my LSA's dropped. What happened? This is not the behavior of a company that likes you or appreciates you or cares about you.
It's not.
This is a behavior about somebody who is so concerned about their Q4 2023 or their Q1 2024. That is what you do. You heck over your customers as many times as you can for as much short-term dollars. And this might be the biggest example of heckery that I've ever seen.
Whoa.
Heckery. Heard it first. Heckery decorated.
So from a few other PPC pros talking about this, Julie Baccini at Neptune Moon on X says, that may be true, responding to Ginny and saying, but there's something incredibly off-putting having Google shove other businesses in front of a user immediately after they had an interaction that the messaged advertiser just paid for. Again, imagine you're running just a Meta ad. Somebody clicks on that link, and then what shows up after they go back to Meta is, here are all of these other people, and you just go that way. It's not a good experience for an advertiser. PPC Greg also jumped in to say, if Google is really ringing the register for the full price of an LSA lead four times here, that's an incredibly bad look. Significantly devalues those leads as it just becomes a race to contact the user first.
That's what you said, yeah.
I just want to say, if you look at this example and you still think that any of the Google propaganda being put out there is real, you are violently wrong. It's only going to get worse. This is the worst example I've personally ever seen other than close variants. This is so bad. Or maybe hidden keywords. Maybe that. It's just routine at this point. It's sad. Mm-hmm. And I'm just waiting to see how they can one-up themselves the next time to immediately 4X that cost of a lead. That is a special place in hell that person is going to reside in.
If you didn't listen last week, while we were recording, PPC Greg posted on X a screenshot of the details of Google Ads new Skill Shop certifications, which use online proctoring service from HonorLock to ensure exam integrity. And I just felt like my whole world was crumbling around me as we were listening to this news.
There is no integrity with anything.
I love this thought of HonorLock.
Yeah.
And integrity. I want you to apply it to LSAs. Take that HonorLock and put it on the LSAs. Sorry, go ahead with HonorLock.
It's okay.
Certificates and the stupidity that we have to go through just to get our cushions shaken.
So some things that are going to change with this new certification are you're going to be asked to take a picture of a photo ID, take a picture of your face, record a video of your test taking environment.
Put your bank account information right over to Google. That's a joke.
During the exam, a live proctor will monitor your activity via your webcam and screen sharing software. You will also be recorded during the exam for review purposes. These are the exam guidelines. You are not allowed to have open books. You are not allowed to have notes. You are not allowed to use scratch paper. You are not allowed to take restroom breaks. You are not allowed to use handheld calculator. You will have a calculator built into your test screen. You are not allowed to use headphones. You are not allowed to wear hats. You can take your exam in a public area without any people in the background.
Thank you.
Moderate background noise is allowed. So, again, thank you.
I'm on the verge of blowing a gasket.
I know. So, I had my reaction to this last week. This is like, who is going to be certified? Go back to last week. We were shocked. But there's a lot more to dig into here. So Ginny responded to PPC Greg from her @AdsLiaison account and said, to clarify, these requirements are for the new professional certifications in display, search, and video. There are no changes to the existing Google Ad certification on Skillshop. I'm struggling with the word certification today, so bear with me. The professional certifications currently in pilot focus on campaign implementation and optimization skills. They're optional and don't count toward partner program requirements. Higher exam integrity has been a top ask for many agencies, like from
Hill. No. What we want you to do is to use the actual items from a campaign in the questions. They don't update the questions. They'll be like, well, what do we do with expanded text ads? And it's like, bro, those have been gone for 2 years. That's what we want. When we mean higher integrity, we want your questions to make freaking sense.
Yeah, and you know what else has been a high ask from agencies? Maybe remove the spend requirements so you're not pushing agencies to have their clients spend more to be certified. I'll take any test.
And to actually have helpful questions that get people to be smarter instead of checking a box that you're certified. I don't want to see a single question about optimization score. Every person that is a good marketer knows that that is a giant BS metric that only serves to make Google more money. That's how their reps get paid. That's what we mean by higher certification or whatever you said.
And update the test more regularly because every time I take it, it's extremely out of date.
I'm going to take that person that's watching my cam and I'm going to be like, sir, ma'am, just so you know, there haven't been discovery ads for 3 months.
Maybe we could have like above moderate background noise too, just to heck with them a little bit. Like, what are they going to do? They're basically saying you can go to a library or an internet cafe and take this exam and that's fine, but you can't wear a hat. None of this makes any sense. None of it's important. And as far as like scratch paper and restroom breaks and all of that, I understand they don't want you to like cheat or pass notes, but in the real world, when this you're doing work, you need, I write things down. I use scratch paper.
This is the problem with the whole education system in America. And like people are finally starting to talk about it and it's getting a little bit better. Everything should be open book. We have a computer in front of us all day while we're doing our work. Why can't I use the computer on the test?
Right. You go to PPC chat if you need help, you need to talk to people. There are resources out there. Like, yeah, some of us Google the exam questions and answers because it's a stupid test and we just want to get through it. But in real life, people are using resources to get their job done.
I also don't think I've been certified in like 4 years.
Yeah, I've let it expire. Yeah, I don't care.
Talk to a prospect today. Boom. Hear this. It is going to be a scarlet letter that you are a premier partner or that you are certified because you're in cahoots with Google and Google Ads on this. It's just, it's way too much. And honestly, what was the word that they said
Integrity.
That they wanted more integrity or whatever. I am telling you, Google, message to Google, note to Google.
Top agency request here.
All we want is for your f***ing platform to work. That is all that we want. load the platform. Stop with the problem. Stop making our life harder. Speed stuff up. We don't want AI. We don't want your certification integrity. We want your platform to work. You should build a platform that works. Promise I wouldn't rant. Okay? Was that a rant?
A little bit. It's okay.
Yeah. I just nominated you for a clock skirt, so yes.
Okay, I'm also just really confused about this whole thing. So the idea, I guess, is that this is different from the old Skillshop certifications, which are more about like conceptual knowledge, which I think of as AKA brainwash. And then these are supposed to be more hands-on, like how to build a campaign. So it's just going to be very interesting to see what there actually is on these tests.
Not anything helpful. This is not a helpful thing. I've talked with some higher up actual Google people. I've got a company... products. They told me to use one PMax campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Google. Imagine if you take this propaganda seriously.
People don't know. If you don't listen and you don't do, people don't know.
What? Imagine that account. Imagine that account with one PMax account.
I can't imagine. What would you do with all your time?
We would be fired in 48 hours. We'd be fired. Their company would be out of business in a week. Gone. Poof.
I thought that was a bug you were spotting away. It was,
the business is gone.
Theatrical arm motion.
No, it's gone.
And it's gone.
Yeah, totally. They'd all lose their jobs. Like,
I'm. It doesn't say you can't film it. I'm going to take the test. I'm going to film it.
I think it'd be Tables. Fun.
We're going to film
it'd
it.
Be fun.
I'm going to tell that instructor that he's on video or she's on video. We're going to film it. I'm going to take it. And I'm going to speak out loud the entire time.
Can I take it too?
It doesn't say you can't film it. It just says... that you can't have people in the background. So as long as you're out of the background tables and you zip that mouth of yours, we're going to make some gold here.
Also, I was thinking I could write the answers on the bottom of my Taylor Swift cup. It's so big. I could just be taking a sip. Little workaround. Okay, so we got really off track there. But again, it's supposed to be in addition to the other Skillshop tests. Some more details that came out with this were James Hebden at JP Hebden on X tweeted, well, I guess Google Ads really, really doesn't want anyone recertifying early. Seems a bit excessive. So this is another fine print. It says, can I retake the exam if I'm already certified? Answer, you may not attempt the same exam while you're currently certified unless you're within the recertification eligibility period, which starts 30 days prior to your certification expiration date. If you attempt to recertify before the recertification eligibility period, one or more of the following may happen. Your exam result will be rejected. You may not receive a new certification or badge. You may be prohibited from taking the exam and or any other Google exam. Like what? Google, in its sole discretion, may terminate any applicable business relationship with you. Wow, I was doing so well until applicable. Like what? I just don't even understand the motivation of that.
Who
like,
cares?
Are you trying to get a better score? They don't want that. Like I'm just so confused by this whole thing.
But number four is a problem because what does that mean? Literally anything.
Shut up. Let's say that you have a company, right? And you want people in it's let's say it's an ad network. And you want people to use the ad network. You're making tests, right? You probably want them to be helpful so that people can spend more money in the ad network, right?
I would think so.
Would you ever say that if somebody took a test early that you would terminate any applicable business relationship with your ad network?
That's what I'm saying. I can't see why you would do that. Like, what?
It's just a threat. It just gives them the ability to do whatever they want. They're not going to do anything. But, like, you sound like a dick.
It is official. Everybody spending money on Google Ads is an annoyance to them.
Totally.
We are just nothing but a lot of little annoyances, and they're trying to get past us to get to our money. That's it. That's what it is. That's what it is. We'll terminate any applicable business relationship with you if you try to take the exam early.
What?
Which no one's
imagine that.
To do.
Yeah. You're like, oh, I've got a it's couple extra fun. Minutes. I took the exam. Boom. Your accounts are gone. You took the exam too early.
You can't
That's
spend money with us.
That's what we're about.
We don't want your money. Like, what?
At the same time, if you don't log into that account within every single quarter, they take away all the points that you earn. It's everything is broken beyond repair over there. Beyond repair. Burn it down. Not literally.
Not actually.
No. Yeah. Just everything.
I have some really uncontroversial news that I feel like I shouldn't even share.
I'm ready for it.
But I will. From Nicola Aegis for Search Engine Land. Google is expanding its AR beauty ads to let brands showcase lip and eye products with plans to soon add foundation. This is building upon an offering that Google launched back in 2020. If you're like me and completely blocked out that entire year, a refresher. They said at the time when you search for a certain eyeshadow or lipstick products on the Google app, the knowledge panel may contain a swatch of shades, which can be viewed on different models and varying skin tones. So that was what happened in 2020. As for what's new now, the AR features are being extended to mobile browsers, which is lovely. They are launching a hair color try-on for a few select brands for at-home hair color. And then they're also adding in that foundation, so it's not just lips and eyes, it's your face too. So I guess that's all great. They're pretty small developments, but the new try-on experience will replace the ad product image in eligible shopping ads. If you do this, it will feature alongside relevant product information to help beauty brands showcase their products in a more interactive way to help capture some of that demand. So these initial launches, especially the hair color, are happening with like some big names like Revlon, I think, and L'Oreal was one of them. So if you're not them, don't worry. It sounds like you can still play if you want to, if you have the right tools. From the article, Nicholas says, for those interested in following suit, Google is now accepting AR assets from a variety of data providers, including Pulpo AR and Perfect Corp. So definitely check it out for more info if you're in the beauty space. I think it's cool. Obviously, a phone makes sense. People can do this, but it still sounds like it's like AR-ish. If it's on different models, it's not on you. But again, if you find somebody that looks similar to you color-wise, maybe you can check some things out.
I tried one of those. It was nice.
You did?
Yeah, I did the selector and I went to Google Ads executive team and I look like Pennywise. I was just like a total clown.
And then we were recommended four more villains after that immediately.
No, then we get stripped of whatever else you can strip me of, because you stripped me of most things, Google.
Like I said, not controversial news. Most people probably don't care, but there you have it, folks.
I also used to get invited to a lot of other like googly things.
Never again.
I am aware. I am well off the list.
Yeah.
I'm no longer invited to those things.
You don't want to go anyway.
No, I don't. I'd rather be for the people. I'd rather be for integrity, for what is right, for what is moral, for what is just. And if you want to be out there selling your soul to a giant corporation, shaking every single cent out of those LSAs, you go right ahead. Watch my webcam. Check if there's a single person in the back. What my background noise is. I don't care. I sleep well at night. I sleep good because I appreciate who I am. I appreciate my morals. Go put that Pennywise filter on, you ads team, you.
Now it's time for this week's take of the week. This is a hashtag fire digital marketing take with extra spice served up for you. We simply deliver the take for your consumption. We give no opinions. We don't influence. You make the call.
This week's take of the week is a man after my own heart. Anthony Hickman. Hickman on X.
We could do that for you, you know, if you're...
I personally can't.
Okay. All right. Hickman had a little post out there with one other than Tiffany Gomez. Tabes, can you throw in Tiffany Gomez into here? She's the MFR is not real on a plane. Here we go.
I'm telling you, I'm getting the fuck off, and there's a reason why I'm getting the fuck off, and everyone can either believe it or they cannot believe it. I don't give two fucks. But I am telling you right now, that mother back there is not real. And you can sit on this plane and you can f-ing die with them or not. I'm not going to.
It's a picture of Tiffany Gomez. And Hickman has the caption, that M blank effing blank Google Ads limited by budget status is not real. And it's not real. It's not real. And that's what the DOJ should be focusing on. Is the fact that they're pushing people into a format where you can, you as in Google, can change bids all the time. Everything that they talk about in DOJ is about, hey, you do not exceed your max CPC that you put forward, but now you're being gaslit in order to change your bidding type because you are getting that limited by budget status there, so... He just knows I love Tiffany Gomez, I think.
He did it for you personally?
I would venture to say yeah.
Now it's time for this week's ICYMI. ICYMI, people, this is something you just might not have seen. Maybe something that you overlooked. but you shouldn't have.
I see why, my people. This one is from Mike Ryan on LinkedIn. He posted, this one's nerdy, but I know you're here for it. One of the most talked about tactics for Performance Max campaigns is the feed-only approach. But does it work? So he has a whole post here breaking down what feed-only is in PMax, just how popular it is, and if it works. Spoiler, he says, this is complicated to answer. Yes, but details. And then at the bottom line, he has a chart here. I'm sure you need to read the post for more details, but it's comparing the three different campaign types and how many are above target, on target, or below target for the results. And for the feed only, 59% are on target and 11% were below target. And for multiple asset groups with not feed only, it says 56 were on target and 14% were below target. So it looks like the feed only approach is a little bit better there, but you should read for more details.
All right. So before we get into the lightning round, a question for you, listeners. Do you know what's better than listening to the show? The answer is almost nothing, but the one thing that is meeting us in person at Brighton SEO. And you know what's even better than that is if you can get in for free, which a couple people can. Mm-hmm. We have teamed up with Brighton SEO and are going to be at Brighton SEO US in San Diego, November 9th and 10th. And check this out. We are giving away, I alluded to it, now I'm going to say it, 2 free 2-day tickets. All you have to do is go on X, twitter.com/marketingo'clock, and post at us at Marketing O'Clock as to why you deserve a ticket. We will randomly select a winner, and rules do apply, but we really don't know what they are. We're just going to pick somebody. Tell us why you want to go. Tell us why you want to be there. Just X us. We can't wait. We are really looking forward to it. So now it's time for this week's pew, pew, lightning round. At this point in the show, we split up our content into three parts. Paid, organic, and social.
First up in the paid universe this week, Ashwin from the Optimizer team has an awesome article called Google Ads Reps, Friend, Foe, or Some Third Nebulous Entity.
I'm not going to comment anymore.
You sure?
No, I'll comment at the end.
Actually, there was a celebrity appearance in this article.
I saw.
Greg Finn was featured. Yeah.
One of his posts on X. It's already on record.
So this covers what reps do, the difference between in-house and third-party reps, how they're incentivized, which is very important. And I think this is a great resource for anyone on the agency side. Could be really helpful to show to clients if they're ever confused about this. Just don't trust a rep.
No, I'm going to counter what you said.
Okay.
Because I think there are, like, if you read this article, there are third-party reps, then there are actually like in-house people. And some of those in-house people are phenomenal. Like, they actually can help get you into programs and things like that. But the problem is Google doesn't discern who is messaging you from where. Like, mm-hmm. that is the biggest issue. Like, I don't think you throw the baby out with the bathwater or the grep out with the heck show that is going on with all the third-party stuff. But there can be still very good reps that can help you in general. But one of the tweets was from Menachem Ani, and he talked about the fact that those reps are based on the OptiScore in the book of their business. And that is fundamentally the wrong way to get performance out of an account. And so you just have to – I read this article and make your own decision.
Next up from Sophie Logan on LinkedIn, it's been 8 months since Microsoft Advertising decided to implement audience network expansion as standard for all search campaigns and not let us opt out. And for me, the red flags are really starting to appear. So she has a list of some things that she's observed in her account. So she says the first red flag is between February 23rd and October 23rd, 26.82% of the budget went towards the audience network expansion in her search campaigns. Don't love that. It was $1.38 more expensive per click.
I've never seen that.
Wonder wow. what business, what vertical she's in. Then search campaigns and $2.23 more expensive than the audience ads, like a specific audience campaign, which were running during the same period. Third red flag, she says it had a click-through rate of 4.92% lower than the search campaigns and 0.35% lower than the audience ads campaign. But if I don't really want to show my ads to these people, that's not necessarily a terrible thing. But there's definitely some red flags here.
But it's not working.
I know.
I don't care what you spend. I shouldn't have to spend a cent.
Reminder here, check in on your settings. There isn't much you can do about it, but see how much you're spending on this audience network expansion, because you might be surprised if you haven't checked in a while. It's sneaky.
And to be fair, I've seen some occasions where it can get close. The audience ads can be close to search ads. I've never seen audience ads beat search ads in terms of efficiency, but for most times, we have a client we work on together. We have some performance issues right now. Microsoft is not where it was last year. It will never again be where it was in 2022. We have so much spend, and you can look at a lead come through for $225 mm-hmm. on search, and it is $3,309. I know the number baked into my brain. I'm going to die, and that's going to be on my headstone because of audience ads.
Next up, Nicole Aguas for Search Engine Land has an article about how Google is testing ads between organic results, ? Because this is kind of an unconfirmed thing. But sponsored posts have been spotted where the third and fifth organic positions usually run in Google search results pages. So nobody's sure if this is like maybe some kind of bug, but they're probably just trying to get more money out of people. Linda Infante, at Linda Infante M on X, posted, "I just found an ad in the middle of the SERPs." So going down the page, she says, first spot was Google Shopping, second was ad, third was ad, four was organic result, five was people also asked, six organic, seven organic, eight organic, nine was another ad, and asked Rusty Brick if this was new. So definitely something to keep an eye out for. There could be ads popping up in new places. From Boris Pasarek on LinkedIn, he was posting about close variants in Google ads. And I know a lot of us whine about them, but he has an example in one of his accounts where they're performing pretty well compared to the rest of his search terms. The cost per conversion is on par. So he says, always be diligent, always look at search queries, never speak in absolutes. Next up from Anthony Higman.
Higman!
New, just spotted. Google adds new overview slides metrics, /carousel. I think that's 5 exclamation points. Anthony is really excited about this, so you know it's good. He says, this is actually super cool. Lets you select all the metrics and then click through on the right to see other things in the overview slide. Really like this update. Can still only have 4 highlighted, but I like it. So instead of in each individual box having the drop down to change it, there's like a box on the right where you can select different metrics and swap them in. I think I'd have to use it to really know if I'd like it.
The amount of slammers here. There's only one sentence where there's just one, and I'm kind of mad that he didn't put at least 2.
We need more Higman.
I know.
We need more energy. We need more excitement in our lives.
And it's nice that he likes something for once.
We need more DMVs.
Yes! More DMVs. Departments of Motor Vehicles.
I don't know if I agree with that. Actually, maybe there'd be a shorter line if there were more. So.
Yeah, but you need more of that one guy that was amazing. I wish I knew his name. I told him that he was good at his job when I left.
Yelp says they've improved search results, photo classification, and wait time accuracy with the use of neural networks. Advertisers can leverage these new capabilities to maximize the cost effectiveness and performance of their campaigns. Next up, Slate has an article about the Google versus DOJ drama, particularly about how in this article they're blaming the judge.
That judge should be blamed. Yeah. That judge will live his life rotting in hell.
And how the article is just about how we don't know anything about what's happening. Google claims, quote, once commercially sensitive information is disclosed in open court, the resulting harm to the party's competitive standing cannot be undone. Like, probably because we're all going to find out all the shady stuff we're doing and try to diversify and use different ad platforms because we hate you.
Yeah. Which we were kind of leaning towards anyway. Let's be real.
Yeah, you're right. It can't be undone. The stuff I have heard can't be undone. And now this is just making me scared about what else is out there.
Shep, just don't wear a hat to your exam.
This, though, is a giant failure for the justice system here in the U.S. This has the ability to be the biggest case, maybe, from an antitrust corporation in the last 100 years, and there is nothing coming out.
I don't hear anything about it outside of work. Like,
no,
I listen to NPR for 10 minutes in the morning. There's nothing.
And also, like, hey, if you work at the DOJ, you can contact me. I'll tell you like what to go after. It's not that people spend more than their max CPC. Higman gets gaslighted for having max CPCs. Like, there should be way more visibility into this. This is something all of our tax dollars go to, and we can't even figure out what's happening. And all those tax dollars are funding the whole thing. It's really yeah. Hey, you sent an email out internally. Good. I don't care. I don't care if it cannot be undone. You sent that email. You made those changes. Those changes can't be undone. Those dollars that fell out or coins from the cushion shaking, that can't be undone either. And that isn't a giant antitrust corporation. That is a mom and pop or a local LSA trying to get a wealth management customer, and you are out there shaking the cushions. That can't be undone either. Nothing can be undone.
Okay, Greg, we really have the show to finish, but I have another quote here that's going to make you mad.
Please don't.
From Kushida Vasant on X in US v. Google, US Judge Amit Mehta just told DOJ states and Google he's not entertaining and, quote, neither should parties entertain press requests for all exhibits to be produced now in week 7 of trial. Quote, it would be unduly burdensome for parties to go back and produce everything. Why couldn't they just be doing it all along?
It's been produced. It was presented.
It's already produced.
Yeah.
This is the dumbest statement. Amit Mehta should be fired. I don't think you can fire these people. I think they're in for life, right? Isn't that how judging works?
Supreme Court, yeah. Is this the yeah, Supreme Court? I don't know whatever. Anything about like, the justice system.
It is all so flawed. And this person, I that there's money flowing back
Google
some way or another.
Do you think the cushions are lining the pockets?
Everything is so corrupt in the U.S. I mean, it's less corrupt than other places, but to say that you can't produce things for 6 weeks that were already produced in court,
they were presented.
Or to just say the video was there, I'm going to give you the video. You don't have to give the documents. It's absolute BS.
I shall not entertain that.
There's something they're not telling us. Next up from Chris Chambers on LinkedIn, you can now upload videos directly in the Google Ads UI to a ad storage channel that stores your videos and allows you to add them to video campaigns. So this should eliminate the need for back and forth with clients about channel permissions or making them upload the video themselves. This seems like a huge win for advertisers.
Some amazing. Amazing. This is what we want.
15 exclamation marks. Way to go.
Slammer, 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 slammer. I love it.
Sad update from our resident lawyer advertising expert,
take it back
Joe
down.
At the Joe Schmo. I know that energy is about to go away.
Yep.
$153 down the toilet. Keyword, criminal lawyers matched to William Bain lawyer. A lawyer in Canada, I target Virginia, will dispute. He always has such sad lawyer updates for us.
William Bain of my existence, am I right?
Google Local Service ads text message announcements just dropped. When a lead comes in are now officially rolling out. Interesting, we got an announcement about this and not that they're going to direct people to other competitors after they submit the form. Interesting.
Think about those competitors and how their conversions just went up and they think that they did something great.
Oh, it's sad.
Everyone is losing.
If you listen to the show, you already knew that information from Anthony Hagman last week. But
ooh.
Update for all you LSA people. Another update from Anthony. He says he's gotten emails from 4 different clients about calls from Google Ads that are way off base. Different geos, different verticals. He says be vigilant and be on the lookout. And he has some specific examples here. And he says Google equals shaking the cushions. Couldn't agree more. More from Anthony. He said, this really sums it all up. I had a bad day today, but then was reflecting on how if Google wasn't such a complex mess and nightmare, that I wouldn't have a job. So just wanted to say that I'm grateful for the complex nightmare that I have chosen to spend my life trying to figure out. So thanks, Google. Mm-mm. Keep changing everything all the time. Love and hate you.
That is Stockholm Syndrome.
I kind of agree.
I agree. I was thinking about getting a tattoo of
Anthony,
this.
I'm worried about you.
I'm happy for him. Like he was on a bender that day and then he turned it and be like, I had a bad day. But if Google made things somewhat usable, I wouldn't have a job. And I was just like, you know what? That's what we need. The lemonade out of the lemon.
I guess, but they could not like lie.
That's like saying I wouldn't be alive if this person that kidnapped me decided to kill me. At least he kept me alive.
What?
It makes me think of Josh Duggar's wife. He's like the worst of the Duggars, you guys. This is a deep cut.
Yeah.
He's the worst of the Duggars. Like, okay. He's been shamed. He's in jail now.
Yeah,
He's the worst of the worst. All this stuff is going on with Josh Duggar, and they uncovered a clip from years ago of his wife, like, talking about their marriage, and she's like, you know, sometimes I'll be annoyed because my husband doesn't, like, take out the garbage, and I just think to myself, at least I have a husband. At least Anthony has a job.
Yeah, he's got Google Ads.
At least there's garbage to take out. I don't know. I just feel like I said, Stockholm Syndrome. Yeah. Do not praise Google or thank them. You could find another vocation. Microsoft is still here.
Yeah.
No, we all need to be more positive in life.
Yeah, you're Google Optimist of the Year. Whatever. I don't think.
Yeah, I'm the most pro Google Marketer of the Year 2022.
Yeah.
Odds are I'm going to win again. In organic news, Google has confirmed the October 2023 core update. The third core update this year has completed rolling out. It started October 5th and it ended on October 19th. So mark your calendars. Additionally, at the same time, roughly the same time, one day earlier, the Google October 2023 spam update finished rolling out. That was started on October 4th and again ended on October 20th here. So mark your calendars. And what's that sound?
It's time for Barry's Charts with Greg.
This is the first time ever where we've got one chart, two algo updates edition of Barry's Charts with Greg. I am officially excited for this. We've got some banger charts here. We've got...
These are boring ass charts.
No. Take it back.
I won't.
Take it back.
I have some commentary on one of these charts.
Okay. The third place chart was from SEO Clarity. And in the middle of the chart, they hid something that you can see if you're on YouTube right now. That is a half pipe. There's a half pipe hidden in the middle of the board for SEO Clarity. That's a half pipe, and I appreciate it. Thank you, SEO Clarity. Number two, second place this week was SERP Woo.
Whoop.
The SERP Woo chart. And this probably should have won. Probably should have won.
For what?
I'll tell you. I'll tell you why.
Listen,
you go
this
first.
Is my segment. They stopped updating the chart. They stopped updating the chart. The last date that I can see is the 14th. I don't see the 19th. I don't see the 20th. I just appreciate that there's no information in the chart. They just gave up.
Well, I think it's second place for not giving a shit.
I just appreciate it. It made me laugh. It made me smile. These charts are about what makes me happy.
Oh, I didn't know that was the criteria.
Yes.
Okay. I think it looks like Anthony Higman slammers, personally.
Higman.
All right. And the winner, by far landslide win here, was Wincher again. My life has been exponentially better since Barry Schwartz over on Search Engine Roundtable. And listen to a show every Friday if you're an SEO. He put a chart from Wincher out. First off, this chart will win by the name alone every week.
Wincher.
This chart is all green, and there's one little day there that's yellow. And it just made me smile so much. I genuinely appreciate it. Wincher, you are the winner this week. And that was Barry's Charts with Greg, an audio program about visual charts.
You got it. No, he didn't. For visual charts.
For visual charts.
He will never get it.
Okay, and from Glenn Gabe at Glenn Gabe on X. This is actually like two news stories in one. So Barry Schwartz had put an announcement out saying that new Google AdSense frequency controls for vignette ads are here. And then Glenn quote tweeted it saying, vignette ads, one of the most annoying and disruptive ad types. I saw many examples of these in action while analyzing sites hammered by the September helpful content update. Don't hammer users. It won't end up well. So you can now limit your vignette ads in AdSense. And then Glenn is saying this is something very specific to the HCU. And Cyrus Shepherd at Cyrus Shepherd on X, I think he unblocked me, put a tweet out saying, now I see a site with an autoplay ad that covers the main content on scroll and I instantly check if it was hit by Google's latest updates. Barring high authority sites, 85% of the time the answer is yes. Rarely have we seen a UX element so closely correlated with a Google update. So he's also saying that there was such a correlation with ads, and especially on this update. Next up, the cushions have been shaken. Drop.marketingclock.com. Google search revenue rises 11%, a solid increase in total ad revenue.
Year over year?
Yes, it was over, I believe, Q3 2022. So they have double digit growth again, and it's indicating that the ad spend is beginning to stabilize. Also, Microsoft was up as well.
Shocking.
From search engine land, Google's rich results are removing events. I don't get why they would ever do this. I think the events rich data is super helpful. You can search for sports team tickets. You can see that pull right in with the cost, where the location is, what the time is. But that's being removed, according to Haristo Jankavez. They say, according to, I believe it was Martin and John from Google at SCL Zurich, they said that events markup is going purposefully out. I am officially, mark me at this time, officially concerned for structured data. We've seen some how-to issues. We've seen FAQs. There is nobody in the world that can say that events markup is bad. You can look for tickets. You can see in the SERPs all of those events and jump right into a specific ticket.
Like, it is like the number one or maybe two example you've ever given whenever you talk about it. It's like right. chocolate like, chip cookie like recipes, recipe and recipes, tickets.
Yes, and tickets. Chocolate chip cookies and tickets.
Yep.
But it's a phenomenal source. I have it's no useful. Clue why you would get rid of that. You can say, I'm going to look at my local concert venue and you see all those events pop up. Why would you get rid of that? It
helpful.
Doesn't make any sense.
Helpful.
But it's just like rich snippets are on notice. That's what my takeaway is. From the man, the myth, the legend, Glenn Gabe, SGE continues to evolve at Glenn Gabe on X. He says, I'm now seeing what I'm calling SGE Lite in the SERPs. SGE doesn't trigger a large block by default anymore. It's now much smaller with a large show more button. Again, in my honest opinion, SGE will not roll out unless it is revenue neutral or positive. Stay tuned. I'm going to one up Glenn. Glenn might be the hardest person in the world to one up because he's always right. But I'm going to one up him and say, SGE will roll out if it's revenue positive. I don't think, oh no, maybe they'll do it neutral. I can't one up. I disavow. Glenn, I'll never one up you.
But it might feel neutral. And then in a court case in a couple of years, you will understand
how to make it positive.
They were sneaking. Yeah.
Yes. They will figure out how to make it positive. Anyway. Glenn has an example of MLB teams with the most playoff appearances, just tooting his own horn over there with the Yankees.
I Google that every day.
He's just trying to show his Yankees pride, even though you didn't even make the playoffs. Get out of here. Anyway, but instead of having SGE, it has the generative AI is experimental. Info quality may vary with SGE's answer, and then you can show more. So instead of being like, yes, at me into SGE, you sort of get a snippet of what that AI might show you, and then you can find more. So I actually don't mind that. I just think the SGE rollout in general is atrocious.
You've had a lot of things to say about it. Yeah.
But this is better. Like, give people the option of seeing like what could be there, show more, love it. That's smart. This is a smart implementation. From Search Engine Roundtable, Barry Schwartz. Apparently UGC is being pulled in for specific products. There's an example of Air Jordan 1 Lows that were green and black. And then there was UGC when you hovered over it for what a consumer had uploaded for that product. Barry said he couldn't replicate it himself, but I don't know. I don't really like this. Like, if you hover over something and it's your product, it'd be nice to display it the way you want instead of having somebody else like assign it to that. I don't know.
Yes, as a business, no, as a consumer. I feel like those are some of the most helpful, like, here's what they promised me, here's what I got.
But I think the example on screen right now, if you're on YouTube, it's a green pair of Jordan 1s.
Yeah, this is not the same
shoe. And in this case, it's the back end of a totally different pair of used Air Jordan 1s. And I think that's going to be a tough thing to straddle. I think it'd be nice to be able to see, like, in action, customer photos. That'd be great. But also a lot of times, like, you want to see the product that you're looking at. And this is not the product that you're looking at.
It's not even green.
And in a tweet from Danny Sullivan on his @searchliaison handle on X, he was responding to Spencer Hawes at Niche Pursuits on X, who wrote, Google is slowly killing blogging. Blogging used to be about providing off-the-cuff updates, sharing unique perspectives, and interacting with blog comments. Now Google has forced bloggers to make everything SEO optimized, long form, and tightly focused around a single keyword, and more and more and more. And Danny, brought his Danny out. I love it. We're seeing more and more of the real Danny. Hmm. Arguably the most entertaining person in Search. Danny wrote, writing about something that's fun or a personal update or whatever anyone wants to write about on their blog is not an issue. We haven't said don't do that. Nor do blogs have to somehow only be about one particular topic. Perspectives and experience are welcomed. As we have talked about before, it's why EAT has become EEAT. Unhelpful content is content generally written for search engine rankings and not for a human audience. If your audience wants to know about what fun thing you did today, and that's why you wrote it, that's helpful right away! Exclamation mark. Write about anything you think human beings coming to your blog would like to hear about. That's all great. But if you wrote 20 fun things you can do today because your primary purpose in doing so is that you wanted to rank well for fun things rather than being something you typically write about, that can be a sign you're producing unhelpful content. It wasn't something you wrote for you. It wasn't something you wrote for your audience. It was something you wrote for search ranking purposes, and that often can align with unhelpful content. Snaps for Danny on that. But that's what everybody needs to hear. That's my next tattoo. Danny. Okay.
You don't have one.
You're going to get like a full sleeve at this point.
Yeah, it's just be all X-tweet posts. Okay. From the man, myth, the legend, Glenn Gabe says, so I've been sharing about Google News Showcase showing up in my Discover feed here in the U.S. recently, and now I'm seeing the full menu in Google News where I can view each participating publisher, follow them, etc. Try it out here, news.google.com/showcase, and it's pretty cool. It kind of looks like a bunch of little Discovers to me. I dig it, and it's coming into Discover, so make sure you have your publisher Access Publisher Central, whatever it's called, that you set up if you're a news organization on Google.
Publisher Center?
Center. Publisher Center. All right. And that's it in organic. What's happening in social bud?
Not much, but I'll cover it. First up from social media today, this is your warning. Whatever you're posting on Threads, your grandparents, your uncles, that aunt you never spoke to but are connected to on Facebook and still likes all your posts for some reason could potentially see your witty quips and updates. End quote. Why? Because Meta is trying to push Threads, obviously, and they are using Facebook and the Instagram to do so. Users have spotted For You on Threads as well as Threads For You. We'll call them feeds within feeds. They're recommending Threads posts in the main feeds on each app with like a side scroll, like card experience. It definitely makes you stop and look. So if you're posting something on Threads, it may show up on any other Meta property, essentially.
Nobody's posting on threads.
Some people are.
There are people. I've seen people on Threads show up on my Instagram.
You've seen it?
Yes.
Have you engaged with it?
No. I try to get out of it as much as I can. I am probably a certified dumb person.
I would imagine. That.
This is beneath me. If you can't make Threads work and you're putting text posts on Instagram and text posts on Facebook, and you have to use all these other networks, your network is broken.
Yeah, especially Facebook. Threads is technically like an Instagram
product. I've seen it on Facebook.
So that's the thing. But Facebook is where the comments in the article were like, not comments, but the commentary in the article was that your Facebook audience tends to be like friends, family, like grandmas, people you wouldn't normally tweet at, for example, or post at, and they're going to see your Threads posts. It's a whole thing.
Nobody's going to use Threads anymore. I mean, nobody does.
Nobody's using Threads. But
all right, next story. This is stupid. I can't believe that you wouldn't try to work on that one product. And you're like, this is a product that's dying, aka Facebook, and Threads is supposed to be the thing that's like living, and instead you're trying to revive Threads via Facebook. It's doomed.
Think my mom wants to read a thread? She doesn't.
And they can't amplify anything that is remotely real. It's all doomed. Doomed.
Real? Pun intended? Anyway, we will stick with the Meta family here. Some more updates. Instagram is testing the ability to add polls in the comments for feed posts and clips. It could be a great way to engage with your followers, get feedback, etc. It's just a small test for now, but the plans are to roll this out to all users. So I guess that's cool. Another test from Instagram, a nearby feed in stories, which would highlight public content from users and businesses in your vicinity. I like that. Brick and mortar businesses, especially if you're traveling, it's a good way to get out there. I'm okay with that. They're also testing a dedicated feed from Meta verified accounts that will include posts from paying Meta verified profiles as well as legacy verified accounts. Again, just a test, but I guess that's fine. You can filter. if you want. Switching gears, move over YouTube. TikTok is experimenting with longer videos. Select users will be able to upload content as long as 15 minutes. The current limit is 10. 1-5.
Thank God. If I get one more part one, part two, part three, part
They're
four, part
five. They're doing it on purpose.
I don't care. I don't use TikTok.
I feel like you're still going to get part ones.
I don't want parts.
You are. If it's a 30-minute thing, you're going to get a part one and a part two. But more content, more engagement, more ad space could be good. Moving on, FYI here to the business meme people out there. LinkedIn has reached 985 million members. It is also reporting record levels of engagement. So if it's part of your strategy, great. If it's not, maybe consider it now.
And if you're down on X and thinking about Threads or Mastodon, that's all wrong. It's LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
100%.
Yeah. They are testing some more things. They're expanding profile verification outside of the U.S. They're opening it up to users in Canada and Mexico, as well as actively working on pushing this out to more regions. So that's good. Collaborative articles on LinkedIn are getting a facelift with a new look that puts more emphasis on the contributors. So that's good. They have improved notifications around these, better quality AI prompts, as well as incorporating the full set. This is really exciting, of reactions that you're used to on the rest of LinkedIn. They're now incorporating that into these collaborative articles. So get excited. Finally, on the LinkedIn front, they are rolling out a new top job option to all LinkedIn premium subscribers, which enables LinkedIn subscribers to mark three roles per month as a top choice. So if you're out there applying for jobs and there's three you really want, you can now mark that. And it'll help recruiters, I guess, see that you have extra interest in the role. I feel like if you want a job, great.
That's weird.
You think that's weird? It's all about jobs on LinkedIn. It's all about professional development in theory.
But
so
I could say like digital marketer, podcast host?
I don't know if I'm going to recruit you for that, but you could say like these are the three things I'm most interested in as a job seeker.
After this show, nobody's recruiting me for that.
Well, if they are, you could market. So that's good. On to the expert. There have been a lot of leaks and speculation around the various tiers of premium subscriptions on the platform, but we have an update straight out of Elon's mouth. He posted on X, two new tiers of X premium subscriptions will be launching soon. One is lower cost with all the features, but no reduction in ads. And the other is a more expensive option, but with no ads. That's all the detail we have. But again, clarifies things a little bit. We still don't know the price. In other X adjacent news from MSN, they said billionaire Elon Musk offered Wikipedia, the free online encyclopedia, $1 billion, or excuse me, pinky, under the condition that it changes its name to Dickipedia. Are you kidding me?
He's crazy.
We need to grow up. One.
Do you think they're going to do it?
I don't get it.
They're really asking for my money.
Well, that's a thing.
So if they really needed it.
Yeah. There was a whole thing about what do you need this money for? Tell us about it. So community notes.
Wait, I don't get it.
What do you mean you don't get it?
What is there not to get?
Dickipedia, Wikipedia, they rhyme.
So he's changed a W to a D? Is that his middle name?
No, he just likes making jokes about like sex stuff and parts of people. Again, he needs to grow up. But the community notes, folks contributing are doing their job. They followed up and said what the money actually goes for. If you give it to Wikipedia, they have the receipts. There's information here, administration, fundraising, engineering improvements, grants, projects, training, all the things that your money actually does go to if you give Wikipedia a dollar or whatever they ask you for. But $1 billion to change your name to Dickipedia is stupid. It's stupid, but that's what Mr. Musk is up there doing.
I'd take the money.
I mean, maybe, but we'll see if he makes good on it. That's literally it for social. And that brings us to our real life segment. Straight out of our accounts and into your ear holes. It's time for Working Hard or Hardly Working, where we talk about what's going on in our IRL work, good, bad, or otherwise.
Hardly working for me this week. Microsoft Advertising just making up some conversion action called a smart goal.
I hate those.
Turning it on.
Sounds primary. Like when Google Analytics did that.
Like, no, okay. Thank you.
No.
Yeah, those are dumb goals.
No one knows what they are, but they're smart.
Stupid goals, as Jess would call them.
What right. about you, Greg?
For me, I was going into a demand gen campaign, trying to make some changes, some optimization tweaks. There's just no settings in demand gen. I've never seen anything like that. It's probably due to the fact that like ad groups are where you control location and things like that. It's the only all type of so Google different. Ads. But there's not a settings in demand gen. There's a picture up on screen. Hey, that's shocking. You don't have settings for a campaign that's demand gen.
Demand when? What? I don't know. I want to bitch about Meta Business Manager again. I know we've done it before, but I just think the permissions are stupid. Cypress North, our agency, if we have access to something, I still have to go in and delegate who on our team can access pages and separately add accounts and do it. Like,
hot take, I like it.
You do?
No, yeah, you don't.
I Why?
Do. Because you can assign people certain clients.
But I don't want to have to take that extra step as I'm changing my team and updating things. I think it's fine if you want to assign things, but I just, why do I have to do that?
Why would you need separate people accessing the people ads account accounts. And the paid, but
so
you don't
somebody
need those
can't jump in
things
and accidentally work on somebody else's account.
Okay, but you could make the ads account and the page account the same at least.
That would be nice. There's a million ways to improve upon this. I hate the fact that we're even talking about it, but just today I'm still getting people saying, hey, I need access to things, and then I have to go in and do it, and it's just...
It's easy.
Is it, though?
Greg, oh my God.
It's easy if you know where you're going, but it's
I like the fact that you could assign, with Google Ads, if I could say, hey, person Joe Blow here,
not Joe Schmo,
could be like, hey, you're on these accounts, and you only get access to those accounts. I think it's cool.
It's fine, but I just, it's
you
annoying.
You can do that.
It's annoying.
Not at the MCC level.
Yeah, but if you really care.
I know, but then I have to make all new MCCs. It's not like I can individually do it.
You are being crazy right now. This
no,
is so
I think
annoying.
It's easy.
The
I
bigger
think
problem is that I have to use
Google.
My Facebook. No, it's not. It's not easy to do. It's not easy to find. You have to do this.
I don't like being able to give accounts that people don't have, shouldn't work on, giving them access to that. I don't like that.
But do you like having to individually say, okay, Shep, you can do the
That's
ads.
That's fine.
Greg,
it's a one-time thing.
And the ads. It's not a one-time
I think
thing.
I
I'm doing
like
it all day long. It's very annoying. I feel like as a business, we should be able to have a user associated with our business.
I like it.
Listen, I'm annoyed by it today.
You also like the DMV.
I love it. And now for this week's
Cool Tool.
As a reminder, our Cool Tool segment is not an official endorsement or paid mention. We're simply sharing something we found in our travels that may be of use to our listeners. And is really, really cool.
This week's Cool Tool is a send from a friend. Mike Rhodes has loads of resources for good marketers, but this one is special and it is just for you, dear listeners.
Power listener of the show, Mike Rhodes.
I will say, yes.
Sent this to us directly.
I love,
love
it.
Love you, Mike.
And I'm just going to read what Mike said because it's very sweet. Hey, Marketing O'Clock peeps. For all you do for the community, I'd love to give you a free version of the latest PMax script. But then I love it. Love y'all, Mike. We love you too, Mike. Thank you for this gift. As always, we will have the link in our newsletter as well as on Discord. It's newsletter.andcommunity.marketingoclock.com respectively. So pick your poison and check it out. Now it's time for our must-read marketing article of the week. An article so advanced, so in-depth, so detailed that we simply cannot cover it in its entirety on today's show.
This week's must-read marketing article of the week comes from Michael King. This was potentially the best article I've ever seen on how SGE works and how you as a marketer should think about SGE. Mike goes through to talk about what is retrieval augmented generation / RAG. I thought it should have been retrieval augmented transfer.
Stop with rats.
Okay.
Why not? Or why?
He goes on to the gotchas of RAG / rats, talks about what the search generative experience actually is. One thing that goes after my heartstrings is that he has immaculate images explaining everything. This is how you make a skyscraper piece of content. This, again, is phenomenal if you're trying to see the insights inside of it. He goes on to talk about how Google SGE works with Realm, Retro, and RAR. He's got a lot of acronyms. And then the threat of SGE, how the model will change, how rank tracking will become more complex, context windows should yield more personalized results, what the current state of SGE is, and how you can calculate your SGE threat level. and goes one step further by making a tool called Raggle, a proof of concept for SGE. And you can go through, look at this article. It might be a cool tool down the road, but you can see exactly the traffic that different positions are getting, how long the loading time is for SGE. It's fantastic. And then talks about how he made Raggle with their own ranking data, a neural retriever, and their own LLM. So it was just fantastic. Big props to Mike King on that. And again, that's over on Search Engine Land. And you can see every one of the articles we talk about each week, newsletter.marketingclock.com or community.marketingclock.com. It goes to our Discord. You can mix it up with us right in there. So thank you, Mike.
And now onto our playlist of curated songs to work to. You can head over to playlist.marketingclock.com to listen to Marketing a Playlist. Jess Budd, what will you be adding this week?
I am adding Art is Hard by Cursive.
I will be adding Any Man of Mine by Queen Shania Twain. I saw her in concert last week.
How was she?
10 out of 10.
Okay.
Greg?
Grab yourself a little bath, maybe throw some Epsom salts in there, put on a pumpkin spice candle because we're going with Drivin' by Willow Avalon.
All right, that does it for today's show.
It is now officially not Marketing Clock.
Thanks for listening.
We miss you already.
And we can't wait to see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Marketing O'Clock. If you're looking for more information on today's topic, head over to marketingoclock.com/newsletter to receive every single article we covered. We share the news as it breaks in our Discord community. Head over to community.marketingoclock.com to join.
Welcome to this week's Shooting the Heck. We're after our famous Friday news show. We don't talk about marketing anymore. We just...
Shoot the heck.
Greg, what are we doing today? I'm sure it's everyone's favorite.
You're correct. This week we're playing everybody's favorite game. This is the last episode before Halloween. We are doing our annual Halloween costume trivia. But okay. I'm switching it up a little bit this year. I went to Google Trends list of the top 100 most searched costumes. So what we're going to do is we're going to go around in a circle. And if you get one of the costumes correct, you're still in. If you miss something that's on the top 100, you're out.
This was like recent, right? They didn't make this over the summer.
Correct. Okay. Very recent.
So I would October. Like to talk first.
Okay, you're first.
Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift.
I believe Taylor Swift is 22nd. Let me double check.
Oh, they have to be separate?
Taylor Swift is
22. 22. Ooh.
What?
Is that a
it's
song?
It's a song about a gun.
Oh my God.
That's what it's 22
well, shoot.
Is.
No.
All right, Tabes, you're up.
Well, Taylor Swift is mine. I'm going to go with a kid's thing, Five Nights at Freddy.
Ooh.
All right. I do not see Five Nights at Freddy. Tables, are you out on this first
Who
one?
Who is she?
They're making a movie with the guy from The Hunger Games, PETA.
Oh, yeah.
You're out. Tables, you didn't even get one.
Wow. Yeah.
Tables, you could have literally said.
Yes, seriously.
Don't say anything.
Anything.
We haven't gone yet.
Other than the most specific thing that nobody's ever
Can
heard.
I get a mulligan?
No. Oh. Yes, you can get a mulligan.
Spider-Man.
Number three.
Really? Yeah. That is so annoying.
I also was going to say something Taylor Swift, so I'm going to go with Barbie.
Number one.
Woo!
Oh, she's number one.
Yep. All right.
So can I use my other one as a separate answer?
Sure, I'll have to type that in though.
Travis Kelce.
You're out.
No way.
Nobody cares about him. It's just mother. only care about mother out there.
So if I get one right or no?
Yep, tables. You can knock Shep out with a correct answer here.
What happened this
time? Joe Biden.
Who's the president, man? Who's the president?
Biden. Have you ever been? Have you ever been trick or treating?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Joe Biden, you're
really
Biden.
Oh my God! Imagine
Wait, so
that.
I'm back
Who's
in?
Like? Oh, you know, what I'm really hyped oh, for. I'm gonna go around as Joe Biden.
Biden.
I got a prop of a bicycle. I'm just gonna be on the ground all night. Like, what? Have you seen Joe Biden out there when you walk around last year? Was it like a hot theme last year?
No,
tables?
But like
hot
that
theme.
That George Bush mask is still like a thing, right?
Yeah, they sell Joe Biden masks.
Okay,
yeah.
Not top 100.
I mean, which?
I can go. Okay,
sorry.
Which?
I thought you were looking at me because it was my turn. I didn't mean to kill
Number
the
flow. Four.
Am
which?
I back in? Wednesday Addams.
Okay, you get two strikes, you're out. Okay.
Okay. Wednesday Addams.
Okay. So which was number four? So you can use that as like for help. because y'all need it. Wednesday Addams is number 6. Tabes.
Oh, man. I'm so bad at this game. Joker. Captain America.
Captain America is not on
that. Really? I'm shocked. No. Wow. No,
neither is Iron Man. Okay. Tables, you're out. Jess.
Blippi.
How do you spell all
B-L-I-P-P-I.
Ant, you're out.
What?
Okay. So you both have one strike.
That's so funny that he asked how to spell Blippi.
I cannot watch stupid shows with my kids. I need some sort of intelligence. So now we just watch YouTube.
Well, so I'm going to win. So my next guess is a clown.
Number 14, clown. Jess.
Okay. Vampire.
Number 21, vampire. Shep.
Oh, shoot.
Next one, the miss. A ghost. Loses. Okay. A ghost should be on here. Number 19, ghost. It's right out of Joe Biden.
Poor Dave.
Jack-o'-lantern.
Pumpkin, number 15.
Okay.
Jep.
Oh, man. Cabbage Patch Kid.
What?
It's timeless.
Cabbage Patch Kid is not on the list.
You put on it's the yarn timeless. Wig.
It'd be fine if it was 1984.
No, it's a cute stoom, bro. You put on
cute stoom? You put on
the wig hat. It's easy. It's cute.
I can tell you, I've taken my kids trick-or-treat. I've never seen one child dress up as a Cabbage Patch Kid. A lot of ghosts.
Yeah. Ghosts.
A lot of Spider-Men.
Yeah.
No Cabbage Patch.
Okay, what about Batman?
You just ruined it because now Justice.
I'm going to go with Batman. I love Batman.
Number 16, Jess wins it. I will quickly recap the top 10. We've got Barbie, Princess, Spider-Man, Witch, Fairy, Wednesday Addams, Dinosaur, Cowboy, Ninja, Bunny.
Bunny?
That's not fair to make Princess one thing.
Well, the Princess Peach is number 13.
Yep, so nobody just goes as a general princess. Are you Princess Diana do. Or are you Moana? Well, I think that was a terrible game.
I found joy in it.
And we will see you next week.